The following program is rated TV-MAL. It contains strong language and is intended only for mature audiences.
Can't stop the vision. Man's got the feeling like running the marathon. And he's this close to the finish. Ain't no coaching ambition. Either it's there or it ain't. But I'm somewhere near the ore, laying on the ground, counting lights after taking a loss. Might get polite applause. Not yet a superstar with their things plastered on walls. I know that's fucking levels, but this ascension feels like a motherfucking treadmill. It stays in something mental. This ambition, it's a rental. Every flame dims eventually. Niggas marching to beat on my drum, forget to credit me. Humble to a fault, don't get it twisted, I'm the fucking shit. Only shit y'all niggas got over me is the budget to buy all of them likes and them clicks, so get in the ring. I know for a fact, I'm knocking y'all on your ass. Your cats ain't seeing me, whether it be the pens or the pads. Don't give a fuck about the accolades and padding your stats. Madden ass motherfuckers can't do shit until it's garbage time. Y'all bunch of Joe crackles on the rhymes. I am not the missing, I am not a person. I do not believe you when you say that you're the best. Y'all are not elite, I promise. Got the lions, I'm the hyena. I got a scrap for whatever I eat. Y'all be the Cenas, the Hogan's, and the Orton's. Y'all win, cause you're supposed to. I fight because I have to. It's just another job, motherfucker.
But y'all don't hear me, y'all don't hear me. I'm streaming a lot of vocal games. I'm making stereo, I'm making very no threat. Ain't in my mood, set my eyes on the title. I promise that I'm a true threat. Expect me, motherfucker. But y'all don't hear me, y'all don't hear me. I'm streaming a lot of vocal games. I'm making stereo, I'm making stereo. Very no quit, ain't in my mood, set my eyes on the title. I promise that I'm a true threat. I find.
Nah, but y'all don't hear me, y'all though hear me. I scream though. It loud in both ears, I'm gonna get stereo. I'm gonna get very no quit. Ain't in my moveset, ain't my eyes moveset. On the title. I promise that I'm a true threat. Expect me, motherfucker, but y'all don't hear me, but though hear me. I scream it loud in both ears, I'm gonna get stereo. I'm gonna get very no quit. Ain't in my moveset, my eyes on the title. I promise that I'm a true threat. Pipe bomb.
Yo, what are you doing, ladies and gentlemen? It's your boy, Blackheart, the head honcho here, the boss of the OTTR mom, the palm mom, the infamous palm mom. You already know what the fucking time it is. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for slowly coming into your seats. We are in expeditious mode because we got one person that got to be out of here on time. So I'm going to try to do it as quick as possible. Like, share, subscribe, leave a comment below. Be notified. Pat to see people. Let them know that we are live actively right here, right now, son. You already know what time it is. Big shout out to the brand ambassadors. Dubby, you already know, to get your energy, the booze energy that you guys need. Get that WAG 10% off using the coupon code OTTRMOB at W.GG. Also, don't forget the 15% off. Same thing with Dream Alive University. We are brand ambassadors. That get yourself some nice snapbacks, clothing, anything that you need from them, get that. At dreamwide.store. Also, get diamond, get glissed out like me, 25% off at soulace.com. Get soulace.com, 25% off that purchase as well. And don't forget to cop some of the merch. Definitely from the Bonfire store, from us last week in wrestling, from Wrestling Asylum, Black Arts Angels, Wrestling Area, the whole nine yards. We're active everywhere. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Gracefully, greatly appreciate all the support that we've been getting ever since the SNW announcement. But needless to say, my special guest tonight, oh man, he's been the rising star of Massachusetts thus far, but little did I know, he was actually from my backyard, hailing from East Boston, but needless to say, from Pride City himself, the prize himself, Mr. Alec Price is in the house.
What's good?
We ran into each other not too long ago on Saturday's Focus Pro Wrestling, which you had a great showing for that. Congratulations on the show, especially for that. But how you been, man? How you been since last time we ran into each other?
Dude, I've been good. I've just been chilling. I got the puppy. I've been taking care of him, working out, you know, making moves for WrestleMania weekend coming up.
Oh, you're a dog dad now, huh?
Yeah, I got, you know what I'm saying, I got the little baby. That's my son. You know what I'm saying? I don't know where he's at. Where's Bear? Oh, he's outside.
Don't worry about that. But hey, Pimpin' Man, well, I've been trying to get you on the pod since I first ran into you at UFO Wrestling, I think in Everett. It was probably back like 2019, 20, I think it was. I don't know which one it was that you was out there for one of those shows and you was facing Jarvin Jarr, something like that. And yeah. And just the way that how like you was, me and my boys, we was like, yo, he's the one that's going to be something. Everyone that came in, he's the one that, like, not only he got the most heat the most, but more importantly, he got over the most just by his moveset and everything like that. So I'm like, yo, that's how we gravitated to you from that day forward. Yeah. We always been trying to keep you on constant watch wherever that, like, you go and stuff like that. I'm like, okay, yo, that's our price right there. And this promoter doing his thing. And then we got to MLW. I was like, oh, this man's really doing his thing. So I was applauding for you. I was a live view from a distance, man.
Thank you, man.
Check him out. Him and Jay Bougie in the same ring. I was like, yo, give me that match, please. But you know how this whole thing goes. We got to rewind back the clock. This is, you know, just like everyone became a wrestling fan at some point in their lives. People know I got an Undertaker tattoo on my forearm, so that distinctly tells you I've been an Undertaker fan all my life. And he's the main one that got me in the dance. So, to you, and that's pretty obvious, what got you into wrestling in the first place, and what was that moment?
I mean, my Nana was a big wrestling fan. My Nana loved the Von Erichs, and, like, she was, like, the big wrestling fan of the family. So, I remember, like, I have, like, memories from when I was a baby watching wrestling with her. And, like, when she watched wrestling, the whole neighborhood watched wrestling. So, I was like, bring this shit up! Like, she was one of those crazy diehard fans. You know what I'm saying? But after she passed, I kind of started to fall off from wrestling. I think I was, like, the only person in my family that still liked it. Like, my brothers, and they grew older, and they didn't like it anymore. And, like, middle school came, I kind of fell off because I was, like, no one else, like, fuck with it. Like, I was the only person that really fucked with it. I didn't know anybody else that liked it. And then I met my best friend, Eddie, the white man, as he calls himself, Eddie White. Yeah. And he like, had all the toys and had all the games and had all the figures. And, like, he was, like, he had the same love for wrestling as I did. So, like, it kind of brought me back to actually giving a crap about wrestling. And then I did a year of backyard. I randomly found a backyard fed that, like, my dude I went to high school with was in. So I did a backyard with him, brought him in, and then I went to the Belltime Club in Wakefield, Massachusetts. Under Bodas of Benny Jooks, you know what I'm saying? Kowalski trained. So I got that Thunderball going through my blood, and I've been wrestling for 7 years now. It's just crazy. Time flew by. You know what I'm saying?
You said 7 years, right? You said 7 years?
Yeah, I started when I was 18.
2017?
Yep. February 23rd, 2017. I walked into the
Belltime. I didn't start getting into the independent scene to really, like, 2019-ish. Like, but UFO Wrestling, that was, like, my very first independent show that I went to. And that's how I ran into you and stuff like that. Then that's when I was like, holy fucking shit. Like, why ain't these guys on television like that? But then that was my education to what I now, you know, five years later into this has been the deep ambiance and me in the independent scene and just seeing the different talent that's out there and what they're doing is just we are in the renaissance of wrestling right now. And wrestling is cool again. So I definitely appreciate the people that I ran into that I'm close friends with now that I have some type of association with, including you. You know what I'm saying? Like, as much as I was jeering you and shit like that, by my like, yo, that motherfucker, he got something to his aura, and then people's going to want to fuck with him. And as you see, 7 years of this, people's fucking with you everywhere. People's fucking with you everywhere that you go.
Yeah, no, it's kind of crazy when I go across, like, the country with GCW, or even just going to, like, AIW in Ohio, or anywhere that I go, and, like, I have fans. Like, I was in AIW two weekends ago before I went to Detroit for GCW, and they had, like, 730 fans there, and all of them were cheering. So it's pretty wild how I went from, like, a hole-in-the-wall school where no one made it out of to, like, taking over the New England area to now starting to take over the independent scene and, like, you know what I'm saying, the whole of wrestling. Like, I wrestled, like, it's wild, bro. I never expected to do any of this, you know what I'm saying? I never even thought I was going to make it out of East Boston. I think because no one ever really even made it out of East Boston. They all just stayed there. It's the same, like, circle where you grow up and then you stay in the same house and then your parents pass on, so then you get the house and then you know what I'm saying? It's so I decided to break that circle and break that curse, and now it's like it's yeah. wild how much like hard work and you know what I'm saying? That's yeah. what I put into it.
And speaking of East Boston, we gotta go back to this because literally I did not know that because I'm from South Boston. I grew up in Southie and you grew up in East. Yeah. So our two it's sort of similar to each other's, but it's just a weird different societal context. I mean, I'm guessing. So, like, for me, I don't know if you ever came down for the St. Patty's Day parade over the years. You'll probably see me out there in the crowd with my boys. You're probably going to be somewhere else amongst that chaos. And little did we know, oh, wait a minute, we know that dude over there. We know that guy over there. Oh, that's why he was right over there. No shit. So it's just basically you growing up in Boston because in logical terms, you're a Bostonian. You know what I'm saying? Yes, what was it like for you growing up? Well, what was your perspective of growing up in Boston compared to mine's? We could be here back and forth for days, and we could have
it was great because, like, I didn't mean to cut you off, but like Boston was great to live in. Like it's a melting pot borough, especially where East is. Like my family is originally from Southeast, so we lived on West 2nd Street between C and D Street Park.
I was right off of B Street, right at the beginning of the projects.
Yeah, and then my aunt and my cousin, they still live in Old Colony. So like my family deep from Southie, and then we moved to Eastie after we moved out of our nana's, but we used to go to the St. Patty's Day parade, like right where Liberty Bell Roast Beef is.
Yep, that used to be my curve right across the street, like directly right across the street.
Every year we were there.
Big shout outs to Liberty Bell when you guys were up.
Come on, Liberty Bell, though.
Back in the day. For some of you guys that do not know what the fuck Liberty Bell was, you were not from Southie. That's all I'm going to say. For the record.
All in. Yeah, 100%. If you don't know Rondo's, Lando.
You get clean from Southie. You don't know what Liberty Bell was. But big shout out to Rondo's. The Rondo's is still standing to this very day. Big shout out to Rondo's.
But I love living in Eastie. It was a melting pot borough. Everyone was there. I met everyone of all cultures, all ethnicities. It didn't matter who you are, like, and there was never no bullshit. Most of the time it was just if you were real or not. Like if you were a real person, you fake. And like that's all that really mattered. I seen everything. I had to grow up fast, obviously. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of shit going on in the area. A lot of you know what I'm saying? You already know the business, but like you already know though. You know what I'm saying?
It's,
you know what I'm saying? You already know. You already know. You get down, but I loved it because it showed me.
Back in the day, I mean just to think about that time frame back in the day that had been crazy for us growing up in that environment. And then for you going the way that you're going with your wrestling career, me going with the hell I'm going with this podcasting, and now the independent wrestling business itself, shout out to SNW. That whole thing right there, it's like two circles is finally coming together. But out of what, as you said earlier, people didn't think that we was ever really going to make it out of our neighborhoods. We was going to be stagnant right there and there doing what everyone else does, but we broke the mold. For others, if they know, you can use your skill and your talent and your love and for your hobby or whatever that brought you here, that got you here. It's gonna be what's gonna get you out.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So use your head to be like, yo, it's you before anyone the fuck else.
Dude, it's kind of crazy because like I felt like I was lost before I found wrestling. Like I did every sport that I can get my hands on. Like I had ADHD, so I was active. I was doing football. I was doing track. I was doing indoor track. I was doing soccer. I was doing baseball. Like I did hockey. I did everything. And everything I was kind of good at, but never really was like something where I was like, you know what I'm saying? I didn't play basketball and I was good at basketball, but I never really like felt like it was mine. But the minute that I stepped into a ring, it was like, I just felt like this is it. this is what God put me on this earth to do. This is what I was here. Like, this is my journey. This is what I need to do. Like, it was kind of just, it was like an eye-opening experience. It was wild. And like, that's why I stick with it. Like, every other sport I played, I end up falling off because I was like, I don't want to do this no more. Wrestling, I don't want to do that. I want to do this for the rest of my life. You know what I'm saying? It's wild how, like, 10 years is almost here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm at 7 years, so 3 more years, I'm at 10 years, I'm at a decade of wrestling. Shit's wild to me.
For real. And Jesus, man. And that's just saying something that you can never be proud of, that you're about to have a decade's worth of experience under your belt. And no one can really tell you anything. Well, some people could, unless they're higher up than you. But that's below you, can't tell you shit. You know what I'm saying? But you know, say, but for two simple boy, see, but for two scumbags that came out, from one environment, we did pretty well for ourselves.
Oh, 100%.
So that's a cheers to that.
There's a dub right there.
You know what I'm saying? So let's just fast forward the clock. We are in our teenage years, probably somewhere near where we're about to be graduating high school and shit like that. That's where our real life decision making got to come into play. What are we gonna do as far as this is concerned? What was yours like? Yeah. And when did you say to yourself, okay, fuck everything else, I'm just gonna be 100% in wrestling, and here's the path that I gotta go.
So that was like sophomore year. I did sophomore year. I did the backyard, and then after sophomore year, it was junior. And I kind of started to not, like, I was doing track, but I was, like, falling off from all my sports. And I was really good at shit. I just kind of just, like, wasn't into it. And then I got hurt. And then a lot of, like, family stuff happened. So I kind of, the summer going into junior year, I started working at Dunkin' Donuts whole time. I was paying rent. I started to do wrestling training at February in 2017. So, like, that year I was starting to do stuff, starting to make moves. And like, I at that point, I started not going to school a lot. I started not doing a lot of stuff. My mom was like, all right, well, you got two choices. You either gotta get a full-time job, which I had one, or you're going to school. So I said, fuck it, I'm just gonna work. And I already had wrestling at that point for the next year. I didn't like sign the papers, I didn't drop out, I just stopped going. So like the next year after that, I just wrestled and worked. And then I started doing trash with my dad's company. I was a trash man for 2 years. I was doing it in the back of a trash truck. I was trashing like Braintree, Quincy, Milton, Roxbury.
Yeah, so using the waste management company, but I don't know what exactly like the company that it was, but they're still active.
Sunrise and Capital. Still
citywide waste management company and dumping right there and picking up trash.
I was a quick temp, so I wasn't a union worker. I was a dude that like the none of the shakers, which was like the dude on the back of the trash truck, were union. So like we all were like quick temps. They would get us through the temp agency and we would just work. So I was doing that for 2 years, and then I decided to go back. My school just started a FACTS program, which is like not a work release program, but it's for kids that like got good grades but just don't show up to school. So we'd go like Monday through Thursday, and then and then if we didn't went all like 12 to 8 or 8 to 12, and then if we went all 4 days, we wouldn't go to Friday and all that bullshit. And then I tried to go back 1 year, didn't make it, and then like I like was like, fuck it, I gotta go do this. And then I went back and I got my diploma, so now I got my high school diploma. And like, it's more been like the past couple of years have more been me maturing as a man and as a person and as a wrestler, because I feel like for me to really get better at wrestling, I have to mature in my own like life. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
because like wrestling mirrors life. It's the same. Like if I'm gonna be better at wrestling, I have to mature, and like I had to do shit, and like that kind of like felt like a weight coming off my chest, and that's when I feel like I was really able to give my 100% into wrestling and not really think about anything else, because at that point it was like, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing really holding me back from doing what I want to do now. Like, I don't, like, I'm not, and like all the stuff that I went through with like like, you know, family members passing and homeboys, you know, losing their lives. And, you know, it was hard, but it took time and, you know, progression. And, like, after me doing a lot of steps, now I'm Gucci. And, like, wrestling saved me from a lot of the bullshit that I was dealing with, a lot of the hate and just a lot of negativity that was in my life that I was allowing to take my energy out of my life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So. Nah, for real, man. Look, yo, listen, I get it. I understand. And I feel, yo, and I feel for you because for me, 2 years ago, I lost my older sister, right? So same thing, just like you. Went through the worst, absolute, just the absolute mental and spiritual loss. You know, that hardship is, you know, like still to this very day, it still takes its effect on me because I'm still grieving it, but not in the way like I was overly destructive to the point where they all my energy was just destructive. Well, you know what I'm saying, like throwing off the wall and stuff, right? To the point where even when like this podcast was like the only crutches that I ever had throughout this whole time period. Because if it wasn't for this pod, I wouldn't even still be breathing. And I tell everyone that. Because my mindset at the time was I wanted to quit. Like I just didn't have it in me anymore. I was burnt out of gas. I was already in a couple other situations, shit like that. I was like, this is just too much. To the point where it's like, without this, it's like, who am I without that? And who out that without my without that person that I'm grieving and missing the most? So in that way, I had to turn that energy into something else and then pour it right back into the same shit. They have a new motivational perspective on it. And then now with the whole SNW situation that's now coming into play, it's giving me a more being in your heart to be like, yo, you have a reason to keep fighting, to keep going, because your job is not done. Your job is not done, Alec Price. And I'm telling you this, bro, one Southie person to another Southie kid, our job is still not fucking finished. You got to keep going out there and keep giving people the ass whooping, the Maxes of the Year candidates, giving them the business and represent for the fucking city. And me, I'm trying to represent the city from inside my own city. And yes, still bringing you guys in and be like, yo, this is what Boston can do if you actually put the limelight on us.
Mm-hmm. 100%, bro.
So, I mean, it's something to fathom, and every person who's in your shoes right now that's going through the same trials and tribulations, keep fighting, because don't give up unless you have to tell yourself, okay, this is it for me, and I know this is it, and I can't go anymore, then that's on you. But if you, if your mind's playing tricks on you, that's just you just knowing you're just overthinking stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be hard, but like the people that like you lose aren't gonna be like the people that you lose. They're not gonna want you to quit because they passed on. You know what I'm saying? They want you to keep going and live your fucking life. Like my auntie that passed, I knew she wants me to live. You know what I'm saying? Like that. I found my aunt one day when I was working, and it fucked me up for a while. But I knew that like. And I was doing some crazy, I was just crashing out, crash chest dummy shit, you know what I'm saying? Getting into fucking brawls, selling fucking drugs, doing crazy shit, because I just didn't know what I was doing. When wrestling pulled me out of that, and then, like, pandemic happened, I went right back into that shit because I didn't have wrestling, and then I was able to pull myself back out. But it's really all about, you're going to kick out eventually, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard, but everyone's just, you got to kick out. It's hard. It's going to hit a wall, but you just got to break through that shit. And everything in wrestling is just nothing but walls and trials and tribulations and hills you got to climb. But if you climb that hill, motherfucker, it's going to be, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be light. There's going to be something there. Like, and I've learned that life's not going to be easy. And my mom and dad never raised me to know that life is easy. And they know, like, I know that life's hot. I've had a lot of crazy shit. You know what I'm saying? Happening.
It's the life that we live. It's the life that we live.
But you know what? It's the life that we live, and yet I smile. That's all it is. You just got to live your life and do it. And, like, wrestling rewards people that stick to it and work their ass off in it. And, like, wrestling's rewarding me right now, and I appreciate it.
Right. And indeed, you're working your ass off, man. And I got to give you props for that. We're gonna take a quick little commercial break real quick. We'll give you like a little breather. When we come back, I'll probably ask like one more question, and then we're gonna quickly play the word association game. Basically, you know how the word association goes. First, you know, like the first, you know, same, the one thing I would say, the first thing that you pop up and stuff like that. So pretty much like that.
Okay.
Folks, run the bathroom, get yourself some popcorn, roll yourself your joints, everything like that. Oh, there he is. Look at you, little boy.
Yeah, that's a dog.
That's not man. But we're gonna take a quick commercial break. We'll be back momentarily after these messages and stuff like that. I don't know why the hell my laptop's even freaking on me like that. Who knows? But we'll be right back after this commercial break, all right?
Introducing WWF Wrestling Buddy. Wrestling Buddies from Tonka. Funk 'em, bop 'em. Wrestling Buddies are looking for action.
Hey, fellas, what's going on?
Nothing, Dad.
Rocket!
Who do you think you are?
Dad, Hulk Hogan!
Wrestling Buddies want to be your buddy.
Henry, what's going on up there?
Nothing, dear.
WWF Wrestling Buddies, new from Tonka. Each sold separately.
When you have no joy,
whoa, doggy sound, doggy, half dozen dogs, hot dogging, doing the dog double time. So what y'all think Rick Steiner wear on his dog?
Look, let's be honest. Where do most of the other wrestling hotlines get their news? From the Wrestling Fans Hotline, and so can you. All you've got to do is call every day, 1-900-230-1133. You'll hear the most up-to-date news on the world of wrestling possible. And not only that, it is the only hotline that allows you, the fan, to participate. Call from a touchtone phone, and you can leave a message for your favorite wrestler. That's right. Talk back to the wrestlers right here on the Wrestling Fans Hotline.
Every Monday night, it's the Wrestling News Wire with Joe Pedicino. On Tuesday night, go behind the scenes with the Locker Room Confidential and Bonnie Blackstone. On Wednesday, you get to vote on Wrestling Point Counterpoint with Rich Mancuso. On Thursday night, it's the Rumble Seat starring Tony Rumble. Friday night, you'll hear the lighter side of the ring with Adam Smash. On Saturday, it's Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Bill After and the PWI Report. And on Sunday, hear yourself on Voice of the Fans.
It's $2 a minute, and kids, make sure your parents know you're calling. Find out what's going on in the world of wrestling on the Wrestling Fans Hotline.
All right, yo, we back. Hope that commercial actually helped you. Kind of helped myself and others. Jesus. Yeah. Ain't really gonna be that much too much time. So let's just fast forward a little real quick. So how many companies have you been in this far since your 7 years journey?
A lot. I can't name them all. Limitless, Beyond, Wrestle Open, Let's Wrestle, Grind Pro, NEW, AIW, OVO, Premier Wrestling, I gotta keep going with the pages. There's a whole crap ton list, like UFO Wrestling, obviously, Focus Pro, you just see me at, Fight Life, holy crap, a lot. There's a lot. Nova Pro, when they used to run, I gotta check my cage match, but I've worked for a lot of places. It was like, I remember like 2022 to 2023. Yeah, even the Seth Rollins. I got to check my cage. There's a whole shit ton of places I got to check. But I don't know, like 22, I just went on a straight where I was just going through every major indie company. I worked for Prestige too. Look at that. Remember at NFW? Look at that. Pro Wrestling Magic. It's coming off the top of my head. Yeah, it gives me
Jesus Christ. How do you even let that happen?
Yeah, look at that. Oh, but anyway.
Ambassador asks, where can we follow the prize, Alex Price?
Oh, you can follow it on Instagram and Twitter, same handle, at Prize City OG, the Prize City OG. I'm gonna be the only one that pops up. Facebook, I haven't been on my Facebook in forever. I think it got hacked and taken over by somebody. Snapchat only for the woes. So you know what I'm saying? Oh, you can go on YouTube. I got a bunch of like stuff on YouTube too. And like Talking Garbage, I got a show on IWTV called Talking Garbage. It's lit. Ooh. We're going to put out episodes for Mania, and then we're going to do episodes after Mania. But it's pretty fire.
Ooh. And if you ain't a ho, get up on my trap house. I've been selling classes like the fifth grade.
Ooh.
Ooh, check you out. You with that dizzle. Okay, then.
No thanks.
So which one has been your favorite promotion to work this far, and why?
I got a lot for many reasons. Like Limitless is my hometown. Like that's my spot. That's where I really kind of grew and like, came into my, like just grew up as a wrestler there. You know what I'm saying? Like I got to like, those were the people, like Limitless Randy was like the first person to start really giving me big time matches, like Eddie Edwards and like facing AC and like just JD Drake and just putting me on. Then like Drew, obviously, like I love working for Beyond because like, Drew put me on with, like, you know, giving me kind of like a spotlight to other independent fans that, like, probably had not seen me at that time. Like, that's how I got, like, into JCW and shit was because they see me at Beyond. They see me on, like, Pro Wrestling Magic and all that stuff. Yeah. So, like, I ended up getting into JCW and GCW. And, like, I love GCW because I get to travel around the whole country in front of crazy freaking fans, in front of like live crowds, me and Cole right now, the Garbage Daddies. That shit's fire tag team. Like that's my boy Blue. You know what I'm saying? That's my Busta. So it's been pretty lit getting to travel around the country with them. So probably GCW maybe right now.
That's crazy to even say that. But hey, listen, man, I'm happy. I'm happy that you're just living your goddamn dream, bro. And you're traveling the fucking world doing what you love. It doesn't even feel like a fucking job sometimes. And that's the ultimate goal for us. Once we have that job that we feel like it's not even a job, but it is a job, and then like you just don't get that feeling. That's what you know. That's the right job for you.
Yeah, bro. Like I it's crazy because when I'm not wrestling, I feel weird. You know what I'm saying? Like I feel like I'm missing something. I feel like I'm not.
No diddy, no raid.
You know what I'm saying? Diddy,
please. No and this diddy. Wasn't some weak ass training lessons either.
No, it was, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel weird. I'm like, damn, bro, what am I doing? This is I feel out of place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's crazy. No, it's like, yeah, not man, my environment.
That's me with wrestling, artwork, and anime now. You know what I mean? Without those three, yeah. It's like, bro, I'm a dead man walking. I'm soulless.
Without those
things. Like, you know what I mean? I just can't function.
Dude, I'm the same way without my NCAA fucking franchise. You know what I'm saying? Without my football franchise and my dynasty I've been going ham on. Like, I left my laptop in Canada, I've been dead. I've been dead recently.
Have you played that WWE? Have you played that WWE 2K24 yet?
I haven't played the new one. I want to. I think I'm just gonna go get it. But like,
yeah, I want to too. People's been trying to get me on that shit for like last like 3 weeks. I'm just like, listen, I gotta do it right now, man. I just can't.
So like, EA is coming out with a new fucking NCAA football game, which I'm excited about in 2025. It's supposed to drop in like July. So, like, I'm going to get a whole new system just for this one game. Because it's, like, the first game in, like, 11 years.
Oh, yeah. Because that whole situation with them, they're paying for their likeness, right?
Yeah. Like, now they're basically, they're like, all right, we'll give you $600 and a copy of the game. You'll be fine.
Jesus. WWE's fucking next in line program. At least as he helps him out with, you know, something like with some of the costs and shit. But not like that. Only punk ass $600 for college students. You know how much?
Yeah, but the thing is, you think about it, bro. That's like $7 million total up. They got $100.
Game already as is.
Huh?
I said you're making about like maybe a cool $5 million off the video game when it does release. Past the time, like, you know, 3 month grace period and shit like that. Until we start losing its momentum, you can make $5 million off that easy, but yeah, you can't pay the athletes like.
Athletes are already making millions of dollars off a scholarship, and it's like it's not like they're forcing them to be in the game; they opt to be in the game. So it's like when you deal with like when wrestling opened first started, people had a problem with it, because they were like, "Oh, you're only getting paid this." It's like, no, when we started to do wrestling open, it was told to everyone. That right now may not be good, but everyone's getting the same pay. You don't have to do this. I'm not going to force you. There's no heat. If you don't want to do it, it's totally up to you. And everyone was okay with it. Now Wrestling Open has grown. The crowds have grown and the pay has grown. But it's the same thing with this. This is the first game in 10 years. They have to start doing like testers. They don't even know if this – they're like, this game is going to be a hit, but we don't know if we're going to have a second game. That's why they're not throwing FCS schools in there, because it's just not going to work right now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if it gets a second game, they're like, hell yeah, we'll do fucking FCS schools and get all the subdivision and Harvard and Yale and all them. But, like, right now, let's just worry about getting as many Division I FBS schools as we can, all the new schools, everything, get this game perfect, get all the modes that were already fantastic in the older games, but get them even better now. Let's focus on there. Let's focus on making a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like, I don't know, pay the players, but like the players get to opt in. And like when the game grows next year, when there's more money and more schools coming in, there's going to be more money for the players. But like, you got to start somewhere. You got to think of the whole, instead of thinking of small potatoes, you got to think of the whole farm.
Yeah, you think about the whole salad, not just the tomatoes.
Yeah, you need a whole farm.
Yeah, I get it. No, listen, because I don't want to dive into that because I don't know nothing about when it comes to the college situation and shit like that. I think when it comes to the players, they should be able to get a surplus on top of their tuition package, unless you that for like whatever star athletes, whatever like that should get
in a college
when they arrive. So at least they know they can be straight for that 1 year, keeps going to 4 years, but if they end up leaving to go and claim himself in the draft, that's you know what I mean? Like that could but it depended on like the school.
That's why they have the players union too, like the NIL.
Or is it really gonna be something that we can afford to keep doing for every star player that we have? That means if you do it for one, you gotta do it for all the others. Because how many of these schools have different basketball, football, tennis programs, polo programs?
Yeah, but they ain't doing it for tennis programs. They ain't doing it for polo programs. They're doing it for football programs. What money? What school? What sports draw money? Football draws money.
Football,
these players are now getting these players not only are getting scholarships towards schools, but they're getting paid a couple mil to play college ball in Division One. Where if you look at any of the subdivisions or anyone that's D3, D2, the difference between is the scholarships and they're not getting paid. It's fucked up that the lower divisions aren't getting paid on it, but you're already getting paid a couple mil. You're getting paid more than Tebow, RG3, anybody that was a player that got drafted was making. Like, none of them were making money. They all got incentives, obviously. Like, there's been freaking campuses and freaking programs called out for, like, doing incentives. That's the whole, like, SMU. The whole SMU thing was, like, back in the day, they were starting to become good because they were doing the same thing that the bigger Texas schools were doing. By bribery, oh, you want this car? All right, here's this car. Sign with SMU. Come be a Mustang. You know what I'm saying? Oh, your mama need a house? We'll buy your mama a house. But every other organization was doing the same thing. Now it's just legal. Now they're just paying the players instead of doing that with booster clubs and stuff like that.
I get it. Temptation can be a big thing. Tampering charges can come into play. So that's why I think I had to stop all that stuff. And shit, I would have been like, hey, you really want me to come to your school for four straight years? Four straight years, I'll probably say, yeah, give me a car, make sure that my mom's taken care of, and and I'm your disciple forever. Shit, I'll play the role to the T very fucking well. But it was like these lesser schools, but you probably wouldn't even want to do it because you ain't gonna get noticed.
Well, also now, especially with the transfer portal, back in the day, players couldn't transfer out. So like
how did that transfer portal work? You know, because I never really understood how a student can transfer from one school to another. How does that necessarily work? Because won't their financial aid be affected by that, or is it like a contract that has to be switched? Like, how does that work?
So, the transfer portal, like, it's very new, and a lot of the rules can definitely be changed. Like, I don't think like players should be able to enter the transfer portal until like bowl season's over. Like, I think that the whole year should be over before, because like this year a shit ton of players transferred out in the transfer portal before the bowls were even happening, and then you had teams that were really good throughout the year not even playing in bowls, you know what I'm saying? Or like they had all their like freshmen and sophomores playing, and that's like really I don't know, I just think it's stupid. Like, but like basically freshman to sophomore year you have the ability to enter the transfer portal and basically become a free agent. It's like their free agency. And then any team could offer you a contract. Like Texas could be like, we're going to pick up this player from the transfer portal. And this player is worth like three, you know what I'm saying? Like signing him to Texas for like, this is his scholarship. He's going to get $3 million. Da, da, da. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
But they only have from, I believe, freshman and sophomore year to transfer out. Past junior year, they're not allowed. Military schools aren't allowed to do the transfer portal, I believe. So, like, once if you're at Army, Navy, or Air Force, like, you're there for all 4 years. So, like, that's one of the issues that they're trying to fix right now. I don't think that they should be able to freaking transfer out before bowl season's over because that affects the playoffs and everything. But, yeah, basically, like, back in the day, you couldn't transfer out. And if you did, you were, like, basically, like, sidelined and you were redshirt for a year.
Right.
So, like, if I'm on Akron and Ohio State wants me, I transfer to Ohio State, I'm going to be gone. I can't play for a whole year. And then I'll be able to play next year.
The following year, then that's when you'd be eligible to play.
Now, these motherfuckers can transfer out and then play the same year. So, a lot of players are going to smaller schools.
They're trying to tweak it around. Like, it's like the real NFL where if you get transferred, you can just go play right the fuck away. You don't have to wait no grace period. To say, okay, you know what I'm saying? Like, that type of story. I never really understood it at first. I just think once you go to that one college, you should be able to just stick to that within 3 to 4 years.
Oh, least, I agree.
At least they should be able to declare, hey, you can't eligible. Hey, you're not eligible for any calling of the draft until your junior/senior years. Those when you can say, okay, I'd rather declare for myself for whatever draft. So at least you know. Don't expect that person to come back the next season. So after that current season, they're done.
Yeah.
You know, usually they'll usually wait till after the tournaments is done, and then they'll make their decision about whether they're going to come back next year or not.
Yeah, 100%. It's weird. And, like, because a lot of players that were, like, starters dipped. Texas. Like, I feel like that's why the Longhorns didn't really do well in like the playoffs this year, because like their starter is very injury prone, and then their backup went right into the transfer portal. But what a lot of players are doing is, say if they don't get to Texas, like they don't get to these massive they don't get to these massive schools off the rip, you know what I'm saying? They'll go to smaller conferences, do really well, and transfer to bigger schools.
That's cool, man. Well, damn. So, shit. So, the whole game field has definitely changed. Well, the scholarship method had definitely changed.
Yeah.
Y'all knows how the fuck long to win. Now, these star student athletes, they're getting paid a substantial amount of money to go and use your education, but you have to play.
Yeah.
It says a lot.
And, like, and also, like, now, eligibility is extended a lot more than it used to be. Like, before it was 4 years. Now you have people, like, players playing in, like, 7 years. Like, there was a player playing on UTEP, University of Texas, El Paso, for, like, 7 years, and it was the starting quarterback. Like, players are playing for, like, 7-8 years now because they've extended, like, the eligibility and how old you can really be and all that. It's weird.
Hey, wait a minute. Time out. Because unless if you are kept back for a couple of years, like, you fucked up a couple of years of credit and shit like that, that I can understand.
Or a doctorate or something like that.
Eligibility right after your senior year to keep going? That seems fetched right there. It's just
senior year.
You're already like a grown ass man playing in the you're a grown ass man
in college.
College league, shit like that. Well, you should already be in the pros. That's where you have to go. You know, if you're after your senior year, it's like you gotta go.
Is he still going to college? Like, I don't know if they're still making him go to college or whatever, like if they change like things, you know what I'm saying? Because I know like your doctorate, you go to school for like 8 years, but they're not getting their doctorates at any of these fucking colleges. They're just going there to play football. So are they changing their majors and their minors every year? Like, is that like something they have to do? I don't know. It's weird though. But you have people playing like college ball for 7 years. It's wild. Like, why just go to the NFL, go to the CFL, or just, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're a grown man, bro. You're almost 30.
Yo, that's crazy to even just to hear that. I'm like, bro, get your old ass out of this fucking university and get your adult life going. Get out of here. Oh man. One more thing. What the fuck was it? Oh. NBA playoffs is coming. It's coming right around the corner, literally in 14 days. So you already know our Celtics is number one, but we got a flaw. Mm-hmm. Fourth quarters is not our fucking thing. Do you think we can actually bring Bannon number 18 to the Garden this year? This year,
100%.
And if so, who are we facing in the finals?
I hope it's a rematch with Golden State again, if they're in.
You want the rematch that bad?
Yeah, I want the rematch. I want to smoke them. I think we could smoke them. We're different. I think our team's better. We have a lot more. I think our arsenal's a lot better this year. Last year, we were a size. Like, we were bringing it to them. The one thing that sucks about Boston sports teams is Boston sports teams have one issue, is that when the minute we start doing good, we get cocky. And then when we get cocky, we start fucking losing. And we do shitty. We are under pressure, defensive forward. Like, we need to be grit, grinding, working the whole time kind of team. If there's any sort of like, oh, we got this, we're fucked. So I think that, you know what I'm saying? So I think I want that rematch, and I want them to be under pressure the whole time. And I think we can win the playoffs.
Looking at the whole playing scenario, it looks like Golden State might be, it might stop a chance in the playoff, but it doesn't look like it. It's gonna look like it's gonna be us versus Denver, or it could be us versus someone else.
I mean, I'll take us versus Denver. It's just like Jokic is fucking crazy. Who the hell do we got to lock down? You know what I'm saying? Like, who do we got to lock him down? Really? Like, we got size, but like he's big.
During a fucking Taco Bell commercial, and he should bring an MVP right now. That should say something right there. But
you know what I'm saying?
I mean, if we do end up facing Denver, it has to go to seven games. It has to go to all fucking seven just for that series alone. But if we face anyone else, try to get them done within five or six games. You might never know. You might never know what the hell that could happen in the playoffs. All of them, these injuries, these weird-ass calls and shit like that, bro. They have a referee problem in the NBA, so you might never know what can happen in one of these games that can be detrimental to shit.
It's always us because they don't want us on top anymore. Like, if you think about it, like,
Celtics. Oh, and the Bruins, too.
And my Bruins are doing good, too.
You had your Bruins jersey on. I was like, oh, yeah, I don't know about that. You'll say he's a hockey dude. So, yeah, even with our Bruins right now, you know, similar thing. We had number one, but then right now it comes into third periods.
The thing is, I don't want number one, though.
On the clock.
I don't want number one, though. I don't want number one. No President's Trophy for the Bruins. That's where we fucked up last year. Okay? There's a curse on that motherfucker.
All of a sudden, we got smacked in the first round.
Yeah, that's the President's Trophy curse. So anybody that's won the there's only been seven teams that's won the first place. President's Trophy. Like, so number one, like, win the league, that's the President's Trophy, right? There's only been seven teams that ever win the Stanley Cup off of being number one out of the history of the NHL. I don't want that shit. I want us to be like three or four. You know what I'm saying? Or like maybe two. Like give us two, three. I'm good because then we'll actually be Gucci.
Number one has too much pressure, and then we go into the playoffs. The high expectation is it's for you to basically clobber everyone and just go straight to the finals. Like there should be no reason why that team should lose.
I don't know. It's weird, bro. I can't explain it. They either lose in the first round.
The universe works in a fucking mysterious way.
It's like they never go past the first round. I feel like Boston, like the year 2 years ago when they were supposed to go and they lost the Panthers last year, they were the first team to 60 wins, the first team to 60 wins in the NHL history. Like set record season, crazy shit, and then we lose to the Panthers. The Panthers are on top.
I remember that. And listen, I had a hard time eating for like a whole week because of that crap. Trust me on that.
Yeah,
we lost that. That nonetheless, we lost to an eighth fucking seed. And we had
and we had a three, and
we couldn't beat them in that fucking two last fucking game. I'll say, well, I'm like, listen, no, this is game over here. Like, there's no way.
It was crazy, bro.
If it takes you all about the games that were just to win one first round victory, forget it. There's no way. You gotta knock them out within five, or you're gonna be in trouble.
But that's also why I like hockey more than any other sports, because like hockey's one of the most unpredictable sports there is. Last place team could be on top the next year or even
that year. All the other night, what was that jersey? Which play was you wearing? We went to the ring on Saturday.
Saturday? I had the Bruins jersey.
You had a Bruins jersey.
Yeah, my jersey.
Oh, your jersey. Price
98. Yeah, that's price 98. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, also.
Still cool, man.
That's pretty damn clever, okay? I got a William O. Reed's jersey in my closet, the first ever African American Bruin that ever played for the organization and shit. I got his jersey.
Yeah. I think I got a Steinberg. I have a Lucic jersey, which is like, I mean, that was before he did what he did, but
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Son of a bitch. God damn it. I like Lucic too, but god damn it. You can't, you know what I'm saying? But and other than that, like I got like Worcester jerseys, I got a bunch of Ice Cat jerseys, a bunch of Railers jerseys. I'm gonna get a Worcester Shark jersey. Probably get a Providence Bruins jersey. Just go ham with it. I want to get like every jersey in the NHL, but like the Canadiens and the Flyers and the Leafs. Those are like the three teams I'm not gonna own.
I'll
own the Senators. They're not as bad. They're not original six. You know what I'm saying? It's more just the original six guys.
Well, at least I know what if for any arch enemy out there that hates him, just get him a Toronto's Maple Leaf jersey. He'll fucking freak the fuck out.
Shit, dude, I will, bro. No, bro, I will not. It will not be in my house. Canadians, Maple Leafs, and Flyers will not enter my house, bro. It's not allowed.
All right.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck about any other team.
I gotta deal with that type of shit at work. So when these visitors, when they come in for these games, and then like they got like, and then they go on like their jersey, I'd be like, oh my god, I can't. I'd be looking here and say under my breath, like, I just can't do that. God damn it!
Like, why are you even showing up in that shit? Just go home. Watch if you want to wear that jersey. Watch it at your house. You know what I'm saying?
They, I'm like, no, listen, they'll just be like, we only came down here. We came down 4 hours just to watch this game. I'm like, okay. I'm like, you know what? Never mind. Like, however that y'all spend your money, that's y'all business. But I can't control it. But needless to say, for us two Bostonians here, hit the like, share, subscribe, and leave a comment below. Yes, that's sir. Okay. Let them know where we at with it. This weekend, we got a jam-packed weekend. WrestleMania weekend is upon us. Alec Preston is going to be busy doing his thing. He's like, we're going to be here. Or not that we're doing our own thing. Wrestling, the Black Cross Angels Wrestling Asylum crossover at 4 o'clock or immediately after Stand and Deliver. Night one, watch along and the anniversary party this Saturday. Tune in for that. And night two's watch along for WrestleMania 40 as well. Big shout out to the whole mob. And I'm going to give the floor over to my homie. You know what I'm saying? Tell them where they can find you and where your next set of appearances will be at. So they can try to keep the eyes and the ears out there for you.
All right, so Mania weekend, I'm going to be down there Wednesday to Sunday, basically the whole week. I got ETU, I'm facing Shin Skywalker. I got a lot of other dates that I don't think have been announced yet. I know a couple GCW ones. I know a charity show, so stay tuned for all that. Go to Twitter, at PrideCityOG, Instagram, at PrideCityOG. I got shirts up on Pro Wrestling Tees. I don't really post on there, but I'm going to post more shirts. I'm getting more merch. If you're at Philly, I got my fanny packs on me. I'm pulling through whole new. I want to do like a whole new freaking clothing brand called Garbage Gang. I may be figuring out, but I'm doing logos right now. Gonna come up with hockey jerseys and shit. So look out for that. Stay tuned. You know what I'm saying? If you ain't follow, like, and subscribe to this platform, to my boy. You know what I'm saying? What are you doing watching this? You know what I'm saying? If you're a friend of me, go over. Make sure that you put them on, that you shoot them out on your Twitter, your socials. You put them on. Come on, listen to them. You know what I'm saying? But anyways, thank you for listening. I appreciate y'all. Be easy. Stay cheesy. You know what I'm saying?
He's heard. You heard from him. You heard from me. Catch me later on this week. You catch him later on this week. And we're going to talk some more later on this shit. So, for real. Especially some of our Boston stories. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, y'all know, we bid y'all good day. Thank you.